In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And life can never be the same again. Yes, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, life will never be the same because Jesus is risen from the dead. The three women that we meet this morning in our gospel lesson received the news with astonishment and fear. They heard it from the angel's mouth. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He is risen. He is not here. And I tell you, it hit them like a ton of bricks. Trembling, astonishment seized them. And at that moment, their view of what God was doing in the world was being changed forever. Now, this morning I ask you to take a moment and think about what would go through your mind if you heard that message from the angel yourself. Would you think, "He is risen! Alleluia!" Probably not. In fact, our response would probably be very much like that of the women. Dead men don't rise. The work of grave robbers? Yeah, perhaps. A cruel joke by the Romans? Okay. A conspiracy of some kind? Maybe. But not resurrection. That would be the last thing that we would come to mind. Just anything but that. The women were just as surprised as we modern skeptics of the resurrection of the dead. It took an angelic messenger to begin to break through their doubts. Jesus had told them plainly what had happened, what would happen. He said that he would go to Jerusalem and there he would be crucified. And then he would rise on the third day. He said it as clear as day. He also used figures of speech. He said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days." That still they didn't understand. Jesus raised a young man from the dead by touching his casket and gave him back to his widowed mother. Still, they didn't understand. And just days, a week before his resurrection from the dead and his crucifixion on Good Friday, he raised his best friend, a very good friend, Lazarus, and returned him to his sisters. And still, they didn't understand. They went to the tomb with spices. They were expecting to find a dead body, plain and simple. So, dear brothers and sisters, never mind the modern notion that Jesus' resurrection is just a pious myth made up by archaic people who didn't have a realistic or scientific view of the world. These three women understood and knew very well that dead men don't just stand up and then tidy up their grave clothes and then walk away from the tomb. That's why they were astonished. If it was a myth, the resurrection of Jesus could have been easily disproven. The Roman government and the Jewish authorities held all of the power in that day. If there had been a body, they would have produced it. If there had been a conspiracy, they would have exposed it. The fact of the matter was that over 500 people saw the risen Jesus. All of the apostles saw him. The women saw him. Witnesses were mentioned by name. You could go and you could ask all of them. And then Peter and the other sheepish disciples, who on this day would have been hiding away, locked away in a room for fear that they might reach a demise like Jesus, they go from there just a month and a half later or so, and they become bold witnesses of the resurrection of the dead. They say, "We saw Christ, we touched him, we saw the scars, we even ate with him. He was no ghost." And they did this even at the edge of the sword, for they had touched and seen the risen Lord. Jesus is risen, and their lives were never the same. So, what does Jesus' resurrection mean for us? Well, first of all, it means that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He's God with skin on. He is the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to the Father. He is the door to heaven. He is the only way to salvation, just as He claimed. The saying goes in our world that talk is cheap. But Jesus' talk, Jesus' words, are pure gold. Because resurrections are extremely rare. We have plenty of talk in our world, don't we? We have more of it at our fingertips now with internet technology and on the radio waves for over a century now and more. We have moral philosophers. We have ethical thinkers. We have political pundits. We have plenty of people who talk. But there's only one man in history whose word said, I will raise from the dead and I will raise myself up. He said he was going to do it and he did it. So you can't ignore the resurrection of Jesus. He is who he says he is. You can't remain neutral to it and say, yeah, maybe that happened, but I'm not too interested in it. For if a man really was raised from the dead, and that man claimed to be the Son of God, you must consider it. Either he is confessed and he is adored as God, crucified and risen, or he must be denied. He must be dismissed as a hoax or a fraud. But we already talked, in short, how the evidence demands that there be more, that it be more than just brushed aside as a simple myth. The evidence demands more scrutiny than that. What else does the resurrection mean? It means that Jesus' death is sufficient. It is the sufficient sacrifice for your sins. When a prisoner serves their sentence and they have completed it, they leave the prison. Jesus served our sentence of death, and then he left the prison of death forever, a free man. Jesus paid our penalty, and we know that it was paid in full because he rose from the dead. Death could no longer hold him. Sacrifice for our sin had been complete. He paid the full sentence. And he gives you that freedom that he won for you. He gives you life and forgiveness in his name. Now, if you think you're not such a bad person and that you only make a few mistakes now and then, look what happened on Good Friday. That is what those mistakes really cost. The life of the Son of God. Every little sin, every big sin, was paid for there. It's part of our human predicament, our sinful nature, that we often try to minimize our offenses and magnify the offenses of others. But on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. He meant all. Every single person. Everyone from the soldiers who nailed him there, to the one who betrayed him there, to Pontius Pilate who ignored the truth and placed him there, the religious rulers who were jealous of him and accused him, even the disciples who abandoned him, he said, Father, forgive them. Likewise, if you think that you're such a bad person that Jesus wouldn't forgive you, you need to look to Good Friday as well. He did that for you. He did that for all. And all of us must remember what he did at Easter. Notice that he had the angel give the message to the women. He said, let the disciples and Peter know that he would go ahead to Galilee just as he promised. Now it's interesting, why did Peter get singled out of all the disciples? Well, consider Peter for a minute. Peter was the one that he had boasted that he would even die with the Lord. Peter was the one that time and again put his foot in his mouth. Remember how he walked out to Jesus on the sea only to lose faith and begin to sink? Only to confess Christ later on as the Son of God, the Christ coming into the world, and then to try to keep Jesus from going to the cross. And Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. This is the same Peter who would then go and deny Jesus 3 times. So why would Peter be singled out? If the angel excluded him, we would understand it. Why didn't he say to the disciple, to the women, go to the disciples, but don't tell Peter that Jesus goes on to Galilee? Peter was the gravest sinner among them. Yet Jesus invites Peter to see him, to go to Galilee. And notice Jesus doesn't say, tell Peter to come and then fall on his knees and grovel. And if he grovels enough, then maybe I will forgive him. No, he simply tells Peter to come. And he does not rebuke Peter when he sees him. We know this from John's gospel. He gives Peter three opportunities to confess his love of Jesus. Three times for every time that he had denied him on the night when he was betrayed. The resurrection means that God's grace is true. His undeserved favor and mercy. Even lackluster disciples like Peter are forgiven. We tend to think in this world that the most spiritual people are the people who succeed all the time, who never seem to sin too much. But the Easter gospel shows us something different. It shows us that the most spiritual people are like the women who were afraid, and like Peter, who blew it big time. The greatest sinners, the screw-ups like Peter, become the deepest in their repentance, and therefore they understand all the more the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. They understand all the more what it cost our Savior to be hung on a cross on Good Friday and the joy of His Easter resurrection. They know how deep, how far and wide the love of forgiveness of Jesus Christ goes, that He can even forgive the one who would deny Him and leave Him there to hang. And therefore, since they know that, their gratitude grows and grows. Their world is never the same. Peter's world was never the same. He went from a cowardly denier to a confessor and preacher of the faith. And that same grace, that same forgiveness is yours too. For Christ forgives you this day and always. The resurrection means that Jesus is always true to His word. We said before, He promised that He would die. He promised that He would rise again, and He did it. So that means you can also trust every single one of His words to us, given to us in Holy Scripture. When He says that he who believes and is baptized is saved, you can believe it. When He says that He will be with you until the end of the age, you can believe His word. When He says, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, you can believe Him at His word. Or when He says that ministers of the gospel have His authority and permission to proclaim the forgiveness of sins, you can trust that the forgiveness preached to you is for you, just as it came from the mouth of Christ Himself. These promises are sure. Christ's word is sure, for He is risen. You can live in them. You can die in them. Christ will not lie to you. He will never deceive you. His word is true, and His resurrection proves it. Also, the resurrection means that what happened to Jesus the first Easter morning will happen to you too. Jesus says, "For this is the will of my Father, that whoever looks to the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." Just as Jesus raised Himself up, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there together at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, so He will raise you. He is the first fruits. The resurrection of Jesus means that there's more raising from the dead to come. We live in this unique time. The new creation has come to us through Jesus. We see it in part now, and we will see it in full on the last day. The new creation has come in Jesus Christ when He was raised on Sunday. Hence, why we gather on Sunday. We remember as St. Paul spoke, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old is past. The new has come. And since the new has come, finally, that means the resurrection means that life in this world has changed forever. The resurrection is very practical for living both today and tomorrow. As Christians, we now live according to the realities of the resurrection day. We seek to live according to God's righteousness and grace in a sinful world today. We know that one day that sin will be undone. Jesus went on to Galilee ahead of His disciples. Galilee was their home. So think of that as home for you today. Today, Galilee is where you live, where you work, where you go to school. The living Christ goes with you as you receive Him today in His Word and His Sacrament. You are alive in Him, and therefore He is in you. That means that nothing that life throws at you can be the end of you, not even death. If Christ has triumphed and conquered death for us, then we know He will overcome those stresses, difficulties, and sins that come day in and day out, each and every week. You can go and serve God in the freedom of forgiveness without fear. Is it hard sometimes to love? Is it hard sometimes to forgive, to care each and every day, to give of yourself day in and day out in your marriage and friendships, at home and at work, at school and at church? Jesus strengthens you in all of that by His forgiveness and the hope of His resurrection. As St. Paul said about each day he lived, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." The resurrection means that Jesus, who comes to you in baptism, absolution, and communion, is the same Jesus who rose again from the dead. The women fled the tomb afraid, but they would later have the joy when they saw their risen Lord. And so it is with us. Our fears give way to gladness as Christ forgives us and comforts us with His Word and with His presence in His body and blood, as His Word promises. Indeed, our lives can never be the same again. They cannot be, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's try that again, folks. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Please stand for the offertory.